Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. The interesting MP3 files podcast, for lack of a better word, that you can fit on a floppy. Not that that matters so much anymore. I'm talking about somebody who also is kind of, well, is getting a little outdated. And I don't mean to be that. I don't mean to have to say it rude. It happens to everybody. He's a great guy. I've always enjoyed everything he's done, and I respect and look up to him as an intelligent man who ran his business well, who ran a great small engineering business. His name's Don Lancaster. This is part three of a series of MP3 files on being careful about being a realist. Don Lancaster was one of the pioneers of the microcomputer industry. He was interesting in the fact that he was always kind of an engineer / writer. He didn't ever, I don't recall him ever going into big business. He was always kind of an independent soul, or he still is. Oh, God, see, I talk like he was dead, but I don't think he is. Shouldn't be. I go to his website, it's still there, it gives every indication that he's still alive, although I really have to say his website has become somewhat static, and it's become somewhat, there's getting to be some dead links on it. Which is interesting, because Don Lancaster was one of the first things he ever said. If you do a website, boy, you find ways to automate it so that you don't have to check dead links all the time. You'll get a dead link report often enough, and you fix them. Well, Don's site is pretty good size, I must say. I don't know if it's gotten beyond him, or I don't know if he's just said, you know what, it generates a little bit of money, no matter if I keep it really up to date or not. So he's just decided he's not going to kill himself keeping it up to date, but he still generates the money he does. A lot of things that he sells are almost only for historical value now. Because a lot of the things that he has just is, you know, just doesn't correlate with 2006. You know, a lot of things that were really difficult that he could sell you instructions on how to get these things done, and it required kind of a technical mind. Now any boob can do with the basic setup that they have at home. So the market kind of dropped out of what he used to do. Now I think his predominant thing is his eBay store, where he sells kind of esoteric stuff, mostly old surplus electronics, old garbage like that. Anyway, talking a little bit about books on demand, and about how during when Don was active, the most active in his writing in his ventures, that was a great thing. It still is kind of a good idea. I can't say that it's a bad idea still. How one would market it is interesting. I think Don got to the point to where the whole marketing of it was beyond him. It wasn't something that really interested him. He already had his shtick for how he marketed things, mostly technical books. The technical books started becoming less and less interesting to people. There was just a normal market outside of, like, universities for that. And universities already have a system. They're not looking for they're not looking for other venues. You know, they have their publishers, and their publishers create the kind of books that they want to have created. And Don was kind of frozen out of the market, as far as I'm aware, because his market of kind of hobbyists, of kind of people who dream of being self-employed, of making a success all by themselves, it just kind of dried up, disappeared, didn't exist anymore. I'm trying to figure out what I want to tell you next. The last couple of articles I read, I don't know if they're the last ones that Don did, but it got almost to the point to where they were so cynical about your ability to actually make a go of this, that it was almost like, why bother? I don't know if that became just part of his writing there toward the end, because he was always a realist person. He would tell you, don't bother doing this because there's no point. He had several articles, and he had several books in which he talked about patents and how silly patents were and how much they cost and how much of a waste of time and effort they could be. And I've come to say that he's right, you know. Trying to patent an idea and then trying to market it is just about almost the silliest thing in the world, for the sole reason that nobody's going to buy your patent from you. Nobody's that interested in it. They'll find ways to get around it. They'll find ways to ignore it. And they don't care. It's of no interest to them. Anyway, so he was always like that. Now, I think that's why people liked his articles, because he really got down to the nuts and bolts of things, and if something was kind of silly to do, he would talk about how silly they were. And he had quite a market for people like that. Now it's really kind of, you know, it's really gone beyond that. I think it's gone beyond what his interests were in it. He was a great writer, but to a certain degree you have to write about something you love, and maybe that was kind of lost on Don. Or he had become such a realist that he had done what I always do, and I've talked about this first at the first of this little series, that you can talk yourself right out of ideas that you have after you just look at it and you go, you know what, I don't really see how I can make money doing that. So, you know what, there's no point in doing it. No point. I've thrown away more ideas than I've had in the past because of this. Because there really is no point to it. I can name for you, just in the interest that I have in microcomputers and electronics and things like that, that had their day, that it was really great, and then they dried up and disappeared. And the biggest one of those is the computerized bulletin board service. The internet totally destroyed it. It replaced it utterly. There is absolutely no, you know, and I don't mean to be rude, because people go, oh no, there's always going to be some place that's needed for a bulletin board system, because not everybody's going to be on the internet. You go, everybody's on the internet. The people who are on the internet, they must not have any interest in it. The price is low enough that anybody can get on, and once they're on, they can go anywhere, they can do anything, they can have anything they like. And what more do they need? I know there's always something to be said for niche markets. And I don't know, I have a website. I don't know how often it ever gets visited. I used to have I used to have my website on GeoCities back in the old days when it really was GeoCities. It was right before Yahoo picked it up. Now it's just basically Yahoo. And that was eons ago. That was probably, I first got my first GeoCities site probably in 1997. So it's nearly 10 years old. And they would give you statistics as to how many people viewed your site. And I was always glad because my site had been viewed many, many thousands of times. I think it becomes less so over time just because it's not terribly interesting. I don't have a lot of new stuff to put up on. It was great because after like 1998, I produced a lot of short stories. Short stories do okay on the web. They're a little bit long, but that's about it. Don't try and put a novel on there. Don't try and do, there's this whole thing. Along with the DBSs that had its moment, and there was a time when you could make some real money, you could almost make a living running a DBS. But then, when the internet came around, it dropped off. Some DBSs morphed into internet service providers, value plus service providers. But then, those either tended to become just an ISP and dropped off all of the community type stuff, all the DBS looking business. And became ISPs, because that's where the money was. And now, that's not even true anymore. There's really no point. Because an ISP is a commodity. You're never going to make money off of it. Because in most places, except in some place really small, where there's no internet provider, but those places are rare now. Most of the rural, like in my area, everything is covered by a rural telephone cooperative. Most of them have taken on internet access. You know, people asked for it and they did it, and they do it in kind of a sideline business, and it doesn't really make that much money. It's just a service that you provide. It's like phone services. Nobody's making a killing off of providing phone service. It's a commodity. You have to have it. Somebody does it. The biggest guy can do the lowest profit margins, and they'll win. And it just depends on where you are and how you do it as to whether it's really going to happen or not. Those are some of the things that have gone by the wayside. The mom and pop ISPs, the computer bulletin board systems, these things have mostly just dropped off the face of the earth. Boom. Now there's a few and they're specialized, but by and large, they're gone. They're gone and they'll never return. And they, you know, because that's just the way progress is. Old things die. There's not buggy whip manufacturers anymore. There's not a guy that his whole job is to make buggy whips. Nobody needs them anymore, except as a novelty, or except for historical reasons. So you tend to, so there might be one or two guys in the whole universe that, along with several other things, they do handmade antique buggy whips. And that's really kind of where these things have gone. It's become, there's only a market for just a handful of people to do it. It's almost become kind of a hobby thing again. You don't do it for money. You do it just to kind of recoup some of your losses on your hobby. And that's it. Nothing happened to all of Don Lancaster's stuff. And he became a realist later on about saying, you know what? He said, it's almost risen above him how you market things on the internet. Because he came at it from kind of a late 90s when the internet was still really new. And everybody and their dog had something on the internet, and you could you could You know, you looked exactly like the big boys. You could make it look exactly like the big boys pretty easily, because the big boys' websites were kind of sad, too. They were just figuring out all this stuff. Well, they finally got things together. And everything kind of settled down. It used to be kind of a free-for-all. Anybody could call themselves a website designer. And they would go out and they would design your websites, and you would have a decent website. People were just so impressed that you could do this stuff in the first place that they would pay you, I used to get $300 an hour doing this. And you go, but you weren't really that good. Then all of a sudden, more artistic people got into it. And it became a different animal. You really had to be good. Artists were doing the website design, or you'd have a big company that did all kinds of things, and you would have a staff of artists. You would have the IT people behind it. And I'm sorry, a single person really can't compete with that very easily. There might be three or four people. It became the time of you would do something and you'd throw it up there and you'd try to, and you'd pour your soul into it. And your biggest desire was that somebody would snap you up, would pay you, a couple of million dollars to take over your company. You became the top property and they'd snap you up. I remember reading this article in Wired magazine about a website called Suck.com, www.suck.com. It doesn't exist anymore. It's not there. The company that snapped it up and kind of sucked it in, parts of it exist, but not much. There was this thing called Time Life Pathfinder that sucked it in. And that web thing, you could probably find elements of it somewhere, but by and large, it's just flat gone. It was subsumed into something else. Things get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they get sucked in. Anyway, Suck was this website that used to poke fun at other websites. Bad design things. Everybody used to say how cool their website was because of how they designed it. It was at the time unique. It's not unique anymore. That was a time back then when they were making websites try and behave as much like newspapers as they could. Multi-column, because a lot of the successful websites, they were called web portals for a little while there. This was just when the web portal was beginning, when they were starting to say, well, we can do individualized content for individual people. A newspaper would put out kind of a special edition, tailor-made just for you. And that's what they would do. And it was really cool. And then they found out there really wasn't much of a demand for that. But that's just part of life. You realize after a while that a whole lot of the ideas that you came up with, and you give them a try, and somebody puts some money behind it, because it's just kind of a nudge away from what they already do. So it's kind of easy to pull off. You try things, and they either will work and make you some money, or they won't work and they'll go that way. This is the time when almost every single idea that came out could be turned into a couple of million dollars, because there was so much money flooding into it, because they all saw the internet was going to be the way of the future. Of course, they all thought that it was going to take the place of everything. Newspapers are going to go away because the internet's going to take over what we used to think as newspapers. The publishing industry is going to be just totally rocked and destroyed by by electronic books. You know, oh, this is the next great fantastic thing. In most of these cases, they are wrong, or if they got it right, it's going to be a whole lot further into the future than they ever thought. You know. See, number one, I guess it's going to be a part four of being a realist. Where I think I'll just get down to saying, you know, you really can't be too sure about the future. What you worked in the past isn't going to necessarily work in the future, or even for long enough to make it worth your while. And my name is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenlist. Don't be too realistic. Find joy in your life wherever you can, because, you know, it might not, you know, your lifelong business dream might not last forever. This is Jay Nemro, Quasi-Indefatigable Zenlist. Have a great day.